It's been just over 4 years since singer Elliott Smith was found dead in his apartment in Los Angeles. According to his girlfriend, they'd been arguing when she locked herself in the bathroom. She said she heard a scream, she came out, and he'd stabbed himself in the chest.
Cut this picture into you and me.
The truly surprising part about Smith's death was how kind of unsurprising it seemed to fans, people like me. His music was heartbreaking and beautiful and fragile, and you just got the sense that this guy was battling something his whole life. Photographer Autumn DeWilde started out as an Elliott Smith fan too, but she eventually became his friend, taking some of the most personal and interesting, intimate photos ever captured of Elliott Smith. Those photos are part of a new book she's released titled simply Elliott Smith. I asked her how she and Elliott got to be friends.
You know, I was very close friends with someone who started working for his manager. And she sat me down and said, "You have to hear this song." And I really was a little bit late to knowing about him. It was either or was about to come out or just come out.
What was the song that she played for you?
Say Yes. Because I was famous for romantic troubles.
So this was the guy for you.
I'm in love with the world through the eyes of a girl who's still around the morning after. We broke up a month ago and I grew up. I didn't know I'd be around the morning after.
What I couldn't believe, and I still am so enthralled by Elliott's music, is that, you know, it's something it takes you a whole night to explain. He would just put in a couple of beautiful sentences, and you're like, that's actually what I mean.
It's been wait and see a happy day, and then you pay and feel like a shit the morning after. But now I feel changed around, and instead.
To go back to how we met, so I was instantly a fan, and he was coming to do an in-store in L.A., a place called No Life Records, and I saw that, and afterwards we all went for drinks at the Formosa, and I met him just like, it was like, "Hi, I think you're great," kind of conversation. So then I was in New York sometime later, I don't remember the timeline, and I saw him in the middle of the street. And I was so shocked to see him that I waved. I really didn't know who I was.
Because probably like 15 times a day, someone came up to him and said, "I love your music." So you were one of those people from one day.
Yeah. Yeah. Luckily, I'm 6'2". So I think that was why he actually cocked his head to the side a little bit. Like, do I know her? And he was really sweet. And I told him, you know, that we had a mutual friend and then he's like, "Well, you know, I'm going to have a drink over here if you want to join me." And I had to go to dinner. So I came back expecting him not to be there. And he was. And we spent many hours drinking that night. So, that was really when we met. And in typical Elliott fashion, became very close in one night. But I didn't see him again for months. Maybe even years. But I took a few photos the next day of him, which is in the book. It's a proof sheet, which I left in there in order to show that it wasn't really a professional beginning between us, you know. So that's a long answer, but it's a long story.
One of the things, I'm a huge Elliott Smith fan, and for anyone who loves this guy's music, one of the themes that seems to emerge is him not feeling very attractive. There's a line in the song "Not Half Right" where he talks about having a broken sink for a face. I don't know if he's singing
line.
About himself even, but just you get the idea that this kind of stuff was in this guy's head. Was he uncomfortable being photographed?
He was uncomfortable. He told me that he didn't like being photographed before we started the figure eight photos. When I actually the first official job, you know. But I have to say that I don't feel like he was consumed with vanity issues. I think he was more concerned with looking like he was trying too hard or like seeming like not recognizing himself. So I know that, you know, he never really discussed like you know, could you not show this or could we get rid of that? You know, he really seemed to accept his face. And I found him so beautiful because his eyes were so intense and beautiful, and he was such a fascinating person. And I loved the way he looked. I think, I don't know, I one of my favorite record covers is Either Or. Because I heard that song and then looked at the, and she played on vinyl, which is awesome. So I looked at the cover and I was like, oh my God. And I just thought he was so amazing looking, and you know, he definitely had the school of life on his face, but that made it even better.
Sometimes a ricochet from the past, and at times a future I've already had before. Champion or chore, either or.
In the written sections of this book, there are some people who knew Elliott Smith really well, you
yeah.
know, friends of his, people that aren't necessarily famous, and they write some stuff about him, about some of his flaws, you know, and him being a guy who would, you know, unload all of his problems on you in a given night and then, you know, kind of
yeah.
be gone the next day. Why did you decide to include that stuff?
Right. Well, I think, feeling very protective of Elliott, but also not wanting to seem like I was putting soft focus on a pretty difficult life. And talking to his old friends, we made a deal that they could pull whatever they said at the end if they regretted saying it, and I thought then we could speak candidly. And I think it's really important. I think it was really important to hear what old friends say, you know, because I think I tried to create a balance in the book where we have compassion for the person who suddenly becomes famous and how difficult it is to maintain friendships within that. And then also for the old friends that remember somebody differently than who they become when they become famous. And I hope that if someone reads all of it, they see, you know, a human being rather than like a caricature of a difficult artist.
I think if, you know, you listen to his music, you felt like you really knew this guy because he was so vulnerable in just how his voice sounded and the lyrics that he wrote, the whole thing. Was that really Elliott Smith? Somebody like me who never met him, am I getting a portrait of who this guy really is based on listening to his songs? And is there a song in particular that you think really did kind of sum him up?
Well, I think he was pretty private about who songs were about. And sometimes, and I think a lot of times he was including perhaps someone else's opinion of him in a song that sounded like it was somebody else. I tend to not ask too many personal questions about stuff like that. So I don't know the answer to that, but I know that when I was angry with him, certain songs felt like, you know, I wish I could just leave this song he wrote playing on his doorstep.
Oh, is there a song that comes to mind?
I think when things got really bad, the song Easy Way Out on Figure Eight, you take advantage till you think you're being used. Without an enemy, your anger gets confused.
Till you think you're being used. 'Cause without an enemy, your anger gets confused. And I got stuck on a side, you know, I never chose. But it's all about taking the easy way out for you, I suppose.
He passed away a while ago. You've had these photos for a while. Why did you decide to release this book now?
People were asking if I was going to ever put them together. Some fans would write to me and ask if they could see more. And it was just really difficult to face. And,
Yeah, were you dreading sitting down with these contact sheets? I mean, this is
yeah.
really, really personal stuff of someone who you obviously had a lot of affection for, who died so unexpectedly. This must have been painful.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was like a torture book report. But it was also therapy and dealing with, you know, I really feel about anything that breaks my heart is I don't want to forget why I fell in love. And I think it's a shame when people try to X that out of their life. I really felt like he was our John Lennon, and it just shouldn't all be buried because of the way it ended.
Well, it's a beautiful series of photos. I think it's for anyone who's a fan of Elliott Smith. How did you pick up this knack for taking photos? I understand you didn't have any actual training.
No, my father was a photographer, or is. I mean, he's still alive. So we all took pictures in the family. My mom took pictures. I didn't, want to be a photographer. I didn't really think anything about it, except that I loved taking photos of my friends. And so then when my friends became musicians or artists, I loved taking pictures of what they were doing, and we were hanging out and stuff. I adored doing that, but I never thought that was something I would get a job doing. So I think, at first I really was only a documentary photographer because that's what I learned from my dad and how to make natural
light work. Yeah, he took pictures of, the Monterey Jazz Festival when it was in its heyday and stuff, right?
He was friends with the Mamas and the Papas, and he knew the area well, so he helped them get carpenters and sort of get the stage built for the Monterey Pop Festival, and he was backstage, so he took some pictures of Jimi Hendrix lighting his guitar on fire, and some great pictures of Ravi Shankar and some great photos of the crowd watching and sort of environmental photos. I think, my dad wasn't necessarily a rock photographer. He just was documenting his scene, his friends, things going on around him, and never published them. So this was my training ground, was just digging through the garage full of photos and I loved them and wished I was there, and I think that's what makes a great photo.
If we were going to be putting in an Elliott Smith song to end this interview with, what would you pick as your favorite, or one you feel like hearing on a weekday morning?
Well, maybe we should play Say Yes, since I was talking about that. There's so many that I love. I really, really love that song. You tell me the morning after. Cricket spin can't come to rest. I'm damaged bad at best. She'll decide what she wants. I'll probably be the last to know. No one says until it shows. See how it is. They want you.
Ali, you were talking about when Elliott Smith was nominated for an Oscar. She wrote a song for Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, and I remember watching it and being very excited because I like Elliott Smith so much. And he looked so uncomfortable on that big stage full of all those sort of glossy, plumped, sequined people. And I think it was Celine Dion was also nominated that year. Uh-huh. Or somebody sang that Titanic song. So he went out with his guitar and he just stood there very simply. And then there was this gigantic production number afterward. And it just was such a bizarre image. It has always stuck in my head. And that's a picture you see a lot of Elliott Smith in that white suit on the stage at the Academy Awards.
Well, if you are a fan of Elliott Smith or you just want to get interested in him, check out this book. And also there's a CD in the book that Autumn de Wilde, her photograph book, a CD of some unreleased songs he did live at a club in Largo, called Largo in Los mm-hmm. Angeles. So anyway, you probably want to check that out. That brings us to the end of this hour of the Bryant Park Project. We want to thank you so much for listening. Ali, where can they go if they want to get more information about this fabulous show?
We can be with you all dang day at nbr.org/Bryant Park for even more stories, more video compilations, more musings, things the staff thinks are interesting, things our loyal listeners think are interesting. Join the conversation online.
This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We'll see you real soon.